everyone, and welcome to the Her Journey Told podcast. On this show, we will focus on strengthening women's mental fitness through sharing the joy, struggle, and wisdom of each woman's journey. Our show is powered by Pivotal Moments. Go to pivotalmoments.org to learn more. Hello, and welcome to the Her Journey Told podcast. This podcast series is focused on strengthening mental fitness by sharing the joy, the struggle, and the wisdom of her journey. Our show is powered by Pivotal Moments, a nonprofit focused on strengthening mental fitness for all. To learn more about Pivotal Moments, go to pivotalmoments.org. I'm your host, Sandy Lutton, and I'm so excited today. I have a guest host, Dr. Lola Capps. Dr. Lola is the founder of Chrysalis Chiropractic, where she and her husband are huge advocates, Dr. Dave, where they're both huge advocates for overall family health and wellness. So welcome, Dr. Lola, to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be part of this. I know when Sandy, when you and I started talking about this, I guess it's been a couple months ago now, I was just really excited that it just seemed like such a good opportunity to really talk about mental fitness and kind of just bringing that kind of information out there to what really drives people to have their journey, to do it, you know, talk about the things that gets them to where they are. And so today we have on the show, we've got three different wellness practitioners. We've got Dr. Elizabeth Strut, who is a physical therapist. We have Dr. Lauren Fisher, clinical psychologist, and we have Dr. Julie Tran, who is a dentist. And the kind of the fun thing with all three of these ladies is that I know them personally, and we are in the same community. We're in a really, really awesome area in Virginia, and we have a really great business association. And that's really kind of how I met them and how we kind of, you know, were brought together. And what's actually really cool about when I brought this to them and was like, hey, do you want to do this with me? Do you want to be part of this? This sounds like a really good opportunity to talk about our community and all of our mental fitness things and how we, you know, got to where we are. And they're like, yeah, sure. So after, you know, sitting down and chatting with each of them, I was like, wow, no wonder I'm friends with these guys, because we had so much in common, from down to even some of the things of like certain books that we had read or certain motivational speakers that we had listened to that really helped us. So I really thought that that was really, really cool. So I will stop talking about all of that and jump right into what we're here for. So first off, the first thing that we really chatted a lot about was how, whether or not we knew that we were going to be doing the thing that we ended up doing. Like, so for myself with being a chiropractor, did I always know that? No. I think the only person who said that they knew what they wanted to be was Dr. Lauren. She said that she always knew she wanted to be a psychologist. But I can say for each of us, none of us knew that we were going to really go and open our own business. So I figured I will let Dr. Lauren, if you want to kind of share a little bit about, you know, what it was that made you kind of, you know, dive into opening your own office, like having your own business, becoming an entrepreneur.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Lola and Sandy, for having us on, or me today. You know, I have known since childhood that I wanted to be a psychologist and I wanted to do something that made a difference. Sometimes it's hard to pinpoint the exact moment, but one thing that flashes in my mind was knowing that a neighbor of ours who had died or was dying of brain cancer. And it, even at the age of like 11, I just thought existentially, I'm like, wow, like life is short, you know, and I want to do something important and I want to help be able to do something. And probably in hindsight, like, you know, as many of us know that like death, you know, there's feelings of powerlessness, you know, so maybe some of that came from that desire impact to do something, but make a difference. I also had experiences of my mother going through depression when I was in middle school and seeing that firsthand, but also seeing her go through therapy and have a really positive outcome. And then, so that definitely helped pave the path for more helping. And then I was just fascinated with the brain, like Silence of the Lambs and all types of like criminal and forensic psychology, even though that's not what I went into. But I was just like, wow, like our brains are such a wild place. And now what I know going through school and everything too, it's fascinating. It continues to be such a great area of research. So I always knew I wanted to be a psychologist. Never thought about owning my own business. Just kind of, you know, was going through grad school, just landed right out of grad school into private practice. I really had no plans. And then out of necessity, I actually had to start my own business. So I don't know if you want me to go into that or not.
You can hold on to that thought for a quick second. Yeah. So Dr. E, as she prefers to be called, it's what all her patients call her. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, with your getting into, you know, physical therapy, how did that happen and getting to the spot of where you were like doing my own thing?
Sure. So when I was in high school, I was afforded the opportunity to spend the entire month of May, every year of high school, but it really was the start of my junior year that I started to think about, you know, what do I want to study in college? I think it's when, you know, peers start talking about, well, what colleges are you looking at? Do you play sports? What are your interests? What are your passions? And we were all afforded the opportunity to spend the month of May pursuing what our interests were. So you could reach out to people in the community and shadow them, or you could dive into the research on your own. You could create whatever kind of May program you wanted. And I always knew that I was interested in the human body. So something involving medicine obviously sparked my interest, but it wasn't quite the right fit. I knew I wanted something a little bit more dynamic than what I would read or hear about, what a physical therapist did, what an orthopedist did, so on and so forth. And so I ended up shadowing a physical therapist, a reflexologist and Reiki healer, an acupuncturist, a personal trainer, and an orthopedic surgeon. And I loved all the things. I wanted to be all of those people, and was inspired by each of them in very different ways. But I ultimately felt that physical therapy was the best course of study for me to pursue. And it allowed me to integrate, you know, relationships with orthopedic type surgeons or sports med physicians and athletic trainers and personal trainers. But I didn't want to do their job. I wanted more of an ongoing relationship with my patients. I wanted to get to know them and work on healing with them, not just from a physical therapy, the physical body stuff, but true relationship. And so that's what I studied in college. And then after practicing for a couple of years with my master's degree, like so many medical providers, I was really disappointed in how the system works and how insurance dictates what you do and how you do it and for how long, and why, you know, this patient can get all the things and this patient, they can get all the things, but they have to pay out of pocket. It was just too... It ruined the experience of being a healer and of being a healthcare provider for me. And so from what I couldn't find in practices that I had worked for, or even those that I did contract work for to try to shake it up on my own, I just decided, you know what, I just have to do it myself. And so I started off just with one office in a health and wellness space here in Delray, and must have been doing something that was working for the community at that time. This was in 2009, so there was a little bit of an economic blip then. And I ultimately needed, you know, another therapist and then another therapist. And it became a joy to practice again with colleagues that shared in the desire to create something that was different from the conventional framework. So here we are.
Yeah, no, and that's awesome. So Dr. Julie, I'm going to change up the question just a little bit. So Dr. Julie, if you can kind of give us a little bit of background, because I think that when we chatted, it was very interesting of how that You definitely didn't know that you wanted to be a dentist, but you had this really strong desire with, I feel like it was one thing that you were like really like knew that you wanted to do. And if you could share a little bit about the story that you had shared with me when you were young. I believe you were in maybe middle school or elementary school. I'm not exactly sure of the age.
So. Middle school.
So
I think I'm guessing maybe about 13 or something like that, looking back. But I was fortunate to have I came here when I was 14. So back then in Vietnam, when I was growing up, there was a lot of poverty around me. And I remember it's a very significant moment because, you know, I have shared with one of my closest teachers who is one of the significant influences in me as till now. So she and I chat for somebody that came up and I said, well, you know, I saw this beggar in the streets and, you know, I feel very uncomfortable. I didn't know what to do with it. You know, you're a young kid and this happened. So she, you know, on her free time, she took me to a couple orphanages. So that's one of my really significant memories. I still remember it now. She took me to an orphanage and there's only a couple helpers there and there's tons of like kids who need help. And a lot of them are actually in the crib because they don't have enough people to pick them up. So these are really young kids. So even they are like, I think they're toddler, probably 3 or 4 years old, but they are held in the crib because it's not safe for them to get out because there's a bunch of little kids. So I was this 13 years old kid came in with the teachers. The moment I stepped through the door, there's like, I think probably 8 or 9 kids are rushing out and just like, mommy, 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 because they want to be helped. And that has stayed with me to now because I knew that this is something I want to do is how can I help? And I didn't know what I wanted to do. I know, okay, maybe I should. And there was actually one girl who was kind of interesting. She was having a toothache, but I didn't know I want to be a dentist. I know like she was crying and I was holding her, just trying to comfort her. But then, so that brought me to the why. I want to do something in medical field that I can give back, like I can be on this, you know, doing, helping back. But then I didn't know I want to be a dentist until I shadowed this dentist after college. Just, you know, be an assistant in her office. And I see all these things that she'd done with the mission trips in other countries. And that, I was like, this could be done. Because I didn't want to go into medical field because it's just, I want to have a family. And I was like, there's a lot of schedule and this doesn't work with a family. But I think that was my ultimate why going through all this, you know, dental school. And there was a lot of not so fun stuff happening in dental school, but you know, that's kept me going because I remember that why moment.
Yeah, I think that's such a, I think it's probably something that all of us probably have is that you wanted to help others and you probably knew that very early on. And I think all of us probably have something that happened. I know when Dr. Julie had told me the story, I was just like, wow. I was like, that's just really, really powerful. And you had actually shared even that you had gone to, I believe it was a home for blind children.
Oh, yes. She also took me to the school for the blind kids and a lot of my orphanages too. And part of the, there's the most positive kids I've ever known. It's amazing. Like, I would think they'd be sad and depressed, but they greet me with joy. We talk and it's like spending time with friends. And one of the tasks that I was helping them with was combing their hair because there's a lot of lice things going on in the community. And they were blind, so they can't take care of themselves. So I was helping my teachers combing lice. Now I think about it, I was like, oh my God, it's kind of gross. But yeah, when you think back, but in that context, I love the joy that they have. It's amazing.
Yeah. And I also think like, even though you say like, oh, that's kind of gross or whatever, but at the time, I think that you just look at it and you're like, this is just what needs to happen. It's kind of like, you know, and I think that so many people have things that happen to them in different situations and how they grow up. They're like, oh, that must have been so hard for you. And it's like, well, no, it was what it was. And you just got to, like, you know, kind of get through it and persevere and just kind of, you know, everybody's life is different. There's no perfect kind of, you know, model to what it's supposed to be. So, all right. So shifting gears a little bit then of, you know, with you sharing some of these things in the past, I want to kind of get into that, I guess, business entrepreneur side, because I feel like, actually, I'm not sure if, Dr. Julie, if you had something that did happen from an entrepreneur side or not, but I know that Dr. Lauren shared things that she did, and Dr. Elizabeth, you did as well. So, Lauren, if you want to share a couple of things that you chatted about, things that you did that were like, yeah, I'm going to go out there and make something of myself.
Yeah, well, so like I said, when I started in private practice, and this is like 2006, you know, I was kind of liking what I was doing, but I was working a lot, underpaid. When you're working, I was working for a narcissist who literally had the narcissistic code on his Escalade. I'm not lying, for our DSM. And there's a lot of people doing harm to others, and like our code of ethics, I know all these ladies that are like, do right by the client, right? Always. But especially with mental health, I mean, people are going to come through your door and never come back. So there were terrible people around me, you know, and I just got increasingly depressed. And like, I remember this moment, I was at this, like, probably a party, and I was just like, oh, I hate my job. I'm working so much. There's blah, 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 blah. And then it was like, go ahead and do something about it, right? Like, you've done something about everything else in your life. Like, life isn't just going to change. So it was at that point, I decided, I was like, well, the only thing I know is private practice now, which I didn't really even know that much of, but it was like a logical conclusion to, like, or progression rather, to start something. So I did a fine year of research and like asking people and pulling in my accountant and lawyer and other people, but, and it was a risk, but I sort of like knew I needed to do it. So that's like how I started in private practice. Fortunately, it went well. And then over time, I was like, wow, I actually enjoy the entrepreneurship. It was really empowering. And I actually was like, oh, I kind of like this. And I was just working for myself, just one therapist. And then, you know, as you know, all of you know, I was fortunate to have an opportunity to grow into a bigger practice. And, you know, things just came across the line. And I think at that point, I was scared with every change in which you put yourself past your comfort zone, kind of like Elizabeth opening her office. And we bought a building and had to like fill and hire and do all these things we've never done before. But I was also like, oh, this is fun and it's a challenge. And it's been going great, but always learning. And I'll just say one thing is like, even though, and here's the thing, I don't know about you guys, but we had no business training ever in grad school. So everything has been self-learned, self-taught. And that is, you know, I'm definitely proud of that. But when I look back, I'm like, I've been hustling for money since I was like 6 years old. I would like deliver newspapers. I would babysit. Like, so I've always kind of had entrepreneurial like mini gigs on the side, so, but I never thought of myself like that. Oh, and the last comment is the narcissist also told me when I left, he was like, good luck. You're probably not going to be able to do it out there. So like, there's nothing like a man telling you can't do it. So. There you go.
Well, anybody telling you can't do it. I mean, like, who do you think you are, right? Yeah. So it's funny because Lauren, you didn't say this, but I know that you've said this plenty of times. What was the thing that you had actually, so you had your small practice and then you were wanting to grow, you were wanting to move spots. And what was something that you kind of were doing and putting out there?
Yeah, so to tell you the truth, I wasn't entirely sure I wanted to grow as far as like managing people, but I knew I wanted to grow in the sense of I wanted to be able to spread more messages out there and like grow in like workshops or information out there. So, and then we were like, maybe we want to grow. And if you're getting at this sort of like the putting out in the environment, like manifesting. Like, okay.
Yeah, how you got your building.
So when finally we were like, all right, let's just see if we could get a building. I was like, let me just start talking to people about my vision to be like, you know what? It'd be great if we could have a building or a place to house people. And I just started talking because in our area, like, it's really hard to get a building. I mean, there's a monopoly. And, you know, I just happened to be at coffee mentioning, thinking maybe someone will, like, leave me a building when they die in, like, 30 years or something. And I'm at coffee, and it just happened to be this woman who's in the business association. She's like, I think I know that this guy is leaving, and they don't want to use a realtor. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah. So my business partner, I called her. She's like, let's just walk over and knock on the door and ask. And I was like, I don't know if we can do that. Do people do that? And she's like, yeah, why not? And that's literally what we did. The funny thing is that it was actually called Just Ask Publications, and we didn't know that at the time. We asked, they liked us, they sold it. It was like, and that's where I knew, and I do, you know, I have a strong faith, and I just believe it was divine intervention, and we were meant to do good things here in this center, and you know, we've been rocking and rolling for about 2 years now. So
yeah, which is awesome. And then that leads right into Dr. E's story of how you got your space. Why don't you share that story?
Yeah, love to. So, you know, similar to what Lauren was talking about, I kind of feel like I was hustling at 6 years old, probably. In my family dynamic, my grandparents were Greek immigrants. And so just like my Big Fat Greek Wedding, they had like a restaurant and a bar. And so when I was little, before I'd go to school, I'd go to the bar and have my scrambled eggs. And, you know, I knew all the people that would be there in the morning, and you bust tables for a nickel or a quarter or a dollar if it's like a magical day. And so you just learn to work, right? You learn to like just go for it and take a chance. And so when I started my private practice, it was just me, like I said earlier, in one room in a wellness building with other practitioners, massage therapist, an acupuncturist, an MD that would pop in periodically, a colon hydrotherapist, like great diverse group of people. And then as I hired someone else, I needed another room and then another room. And at one point I had three rooms in this building. And I'm thinking, well, like, what's the next step? I was comfortable and it was okay. I, like Lauren, I didn't necessarily think I wanted to grow, needed to grow, but I prayed a lot about it. And I had started to look for space up in Arlington because Arlington seemed like a different community and neighborhood where more space would be available, except that the price range at the time was just astronomical. I could not wrap my head around that at all. And so one afternoon I had been up in Arlington doing that. I had come back to my office and I just felt a little defeated, you know, like maybe it's not the right timing, or I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And I trust God will like lead me however I need to, how and where and all the things when it's time, when it's divine time. Right. So I decide I'm going to reward myself with some sort of latte type thing. And I am crossing the street to go to the coffee shop that's down here on the corner. And I'm walking down the street and I'm talking to God saying, you know, I really need you to just show me what I'm supposed to be doing because I'm at a roadblock and I could use an assist. As I am walking past the building I now own and where my practice has grown, the landlord is putting a sign in the window that says for lease. I look up, I say, got it. Thank you. I don't go to the coffee shop. I walk in, I introduce myself. I look at the space and I sign the lease within 24 hours. And that's, I mean, that's the beginning of what we are now and how we continue to grow in the community. I, you know, started getting furniture off of Craigslist. Remember when Craigslist was like an actually okay place to get used things from? you know, like used IKEA chairs for the waiting room and like a used desk. And I just trusted that as we grew, the provision would be there, and it has been. So as we have been blessed with patients and an incredibly supportive wellness community, we've been able to grow and increase our aesthetic and our standards and all sorts of wonderful things.
Yeah. Which is, it's so cool. And I thought it was, like I said, when I, as I was talking to all of you, you know, separately, that there were so many stories that had overlap and so many different, different things, but then so many same themes that just kind of kept popping up. And again, I feel like that was one of them. Something that you and actually all three of you had kind of said at some point that early on in your practice that you were all kind of comfortable, but yet there were certain things that you were like, like, you know, like you knew that you wanted to, you're like, I need to grow. Like, what's the next step? You're like, I could stay here, but what's the next step? You know, with Lauren, that you were in a situation where you're like, all right, like I'm working, I'm making money, whatever, this guy's, you know, not the best to work for. I'm not happy. But still at the same time, you were like, I should work in a practice with other people. So you were kind of comfortable. And I know, Dr. Julie, you had also a very similar thing where you're like, I'm just going to go to work and I'm going to like just work for somebody and then I'm going to go home and that's going to be it. And then what was it, Dr. Julie, that kind of for you was to send you into that next kind of step, that next phase that kind of puts you in more of this leadership position, which I know that you had actually specifically said that you were like, no, I'm not that person. I'm not a leader. But yet, obviously, that's not the case. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's kind of similar to Lauren. I was very comfortable, and I'm a very shy, introvert person. So, I was like, I just want to go to work, do my thing, go home. I don't want to interact with people. I don't want to manage anybody. That was like the least thing I want to do. And this was in my head since I was a kid. I'm just a very quiet to myself kind of kid. But then, I worked for this dentist, and you know, he was great. So everything was fine. I mean, very comfortable, but there was something happened that either I move on to another associateship or I buy his second office. But there's like, I'm like, I'm comfortable. I don't need to. But then, you know, there's that yearning when there, you know, there's a vision for you and there's this yearning. And so, you know, everything just sort of line up. He suddenly want to sell the second location. And so it was scary, but I bought it. And the scariest thing for me actually is not the buying and the financial part. I mean, all that banking I had to learn from day one, borrowing money. The interest was like, I had to pay interest. I think that was 2008. That was a crash year. So it was like 11.5 interest percent I had to pay. So that was the scary part. But the scariest part for me, the funny thing was like, how am I going to run the office? How am I going to have my employees, the team? That part is scary. But for some reason, I start to find a why. And the why for me is, how do we grow together? How does this, the patients, my team? Because when I start learning about these leaderships, how to lead the team, I'm learning about myself. But then on top of that, I'm helping my team to become their best version of who they are. And so the why for me was, I love seeing people grow. And that's not just my team members, but my patients too. Like to see the improvement on how, not just their oral health, but like the how they perceive themselves as a person. And they light up when, like, you know, not just like, there's like, oh, your gum's looking better, but it's not about that. It's like, you know, I also quit smoking, you know, that those kind of thing. And those are relationships that actually keeps me going. Yeah. So that thing, I think for me, the why is, how do I grow together as a leader with my team and with my patients? So that kind of helped me step in out of my shell, because I have a reason why. This is not about me anymore. If it's just about me, I'd rather just be in my quiet corner.
Right. And so that really leads us in, I think, to that next part of that mental fitness, you know, which is the big thing of kind of what we're here to talk about, of that you don't just go from, you know, opening up your business and like you get to Z, like you have to go through all the other letters of the alphabet. You have all these different things that you have to work on. And as I think we all kind of mentioned, that there are pieces of things that you have to learn how to do. Like you were like, I got to get a loan and it's, you know, 11%. Like, ugh, like that's crazy. You got to sign a lease. You got to look for, I know when Dr. Lauren and I talked and we talked about, you know, the bookkeeper and the attorney person to write up documents, just all this like just stuff. And it's either you might not like it, but it's one of those things that you have to kind of dive into. But then there's also, like Dr. Julie keeps referring back to, there's that why. So there's got to be some reason of why you're doing what you're doing. Otherwise, you know, sitting there and figuring out QuickBooks, which back in the day, I can remember doing QuickBooks and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to stab my eyeballs out with a fork, spoon them out or something, because this is the worst thing ever, ever in my life. And it's funny because fast forward now, QuickBooks is online. It's a breeze. But back then you had to like buy like the actual software and like load it up and da, 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 da. It's absolutely horrendous. That was the first thing that I ever passed off to anybody. I was like, yes, I need one of those, please. Somebody to do those number things. But along the way, there's a lot of stuff that happens where you're really working on yourself, like really kind of growing who you are and what you want to become so that you can become that leader. And I think that's a lot of the things that really is that mental fitness part, because it's, if you just kind of dive in and you don't have and come back to that why or have a reason or some sort of excitement or passion, that you're just going to get, you're going to get tired. You're going to get burnt out and you're just going to be like, I'm done. I'm like just completely done with this. So what I thought would be great is if we could each kind of go through and talk a little bit about maybe the top two or three things of like mental fitness, of what you really think that if you were going to tell someone what it is that's really important, that's going to make you successful at what you're doing. So I'll just go from the top because you're right in front of me, Dr. E. I'll let you go ahead first.
I would say one of the most important things that I really tried to implement from the very beginning was firm boundaries that protected and defined my personal time and likewise my professional time. So in the early years, I had more free time as I built up my patient caseload, and then I had to be wary of overextending myself. So seeing more than 8 people in a day, working more than X number of days in a week, so on and so forth. And so by virtue of what was happening in my personal life at the time, I was dating my now husband, who has 3 daughters who had very active schedules of their own. I made a choice that I would always have a 3-day weekend. And I have had a 3-day weekend since 2009. Because in that moment, I wanted to be readily available to the people that mattered most to me, being him, the girls, my own family. And I never sacrificed that. So in elevating what is most important to me, that family is most important to me, I protect that time. I have to do the same thing now by stopping my professional day at a certain time so that I am able to go pick up my now small children. And when we go home, I am not pulled back into doing my notes on my computer or, you know, like QuickBooks, you know, giving those responsibilities to other people. So all of that I think is critical to good mental health, because it's too easy when you are willing to take on things to build because you are passionate about it. You are driven, and so you're willing to do all the steps. But for your own well-being, you have to protect your own time and space. And then that also lends you to doing things like going and exercising, taking the time to be alone for a little bit, or whatever it is for that person, you have to navigate what that means.
I know you had mentioned, Dr. E, about really knowing what you value, which I think is part of what helped you to define your boundaries. Can you explain a little bit about that, of knowing what you value? Because I think one of the things that you really did a great job of when we talked about it was really expressing that everybody is going to have different values. And so you have to figure out what's...
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So how did you... what was it that you valued? Like, how did you come about that?
It really was my relationship with my now husband, with his children, and with my family, that always took the priority. So a lot of their scheduled things weren't malleable. We couldn't shift when they were going to have games or performances and things. And so that already put me in a window of when I was willing to see patients and when I wasn't. A commitment to my own health, valuing my own self-care, also caters to having a structured schedule and not seeing too many people. And I'm at the point now where I also take into consideration people that I don't want to see, meaning that I can be somewhat selective in which patients I want to take, and recognizing that there are times when it's not a good relationship, it's not a good dynamic, and it takes away from me being a healer that can show up for everyone. I have to have a boundary and say, maybe this isn't a good fit, and being comfortable with letting someone else be the healer for that person. It really is an ongoing self-reflection, the more we talk about this, right? That what is important to me now is very different than it was before my children were born. And so creating moments of self-reflection to reprioritize, I think, is an important skill to hold ourselves accountable to.
Yeah. And I love that you brought up self-care, because I think that's one of the things that it's easy. And I think it's actually kind of funny, because we're all into giving, right? We're all into serving others. And I think that's one of the things that's so easy as that type of person, that you kind of forget about yourself. And that's where being selfish, I think, is almost important, because you have to make sure that you do take the time for yourself, whether it's spending with family or exercising or taking the time to make sure you have time to cook healthy meals for yourself or whatever it is. I mean, it could be going shopping. I mean, whatever it is that you value and that's important to you, that you take the time to do that thing that kind of fills you back up, fills up your cup, I guess, if you will. Dr. Julie, if you want to share some of the things that were really important to you as far as self-care, and how, because you had kind of mentioned that you had tried a few different things like meditation and exercise, but then you circled back to a why that was important to you at the time. If you would like to share.
Sure. I think going back to the why is, you know, for a number of years, I try to read the Bible, and that didn't quite stick. You know, some days I'm good, and some days I'm off and on. Exercise is the same thing, and meditation too. I mean, I feel the benefits of it, but then I'm never like consistent. But now that I have the three boys, I think that really, like, I need to be like a calm and strong mom for them. So there's no way I can do that if I'm all frazzled. And I feel that the day that I missed it. So in the morning, the kids know that I got to check in with Jesus. And I got to have my coffee and Jesus and my scripture. So I kind of sit there with my scriptures. And someday, it's kind of hilarious now that I'm looking back, the kids start to get it, because when they come downstairs too early and I'm still in, you know, reading, and they're like, oh, it's too early, mommy. Okay, I'll go back upstairs. Versus the early days, you know, like when I didn't know my boundaries, and we talked about that. That was so crucial. I didn't know my boundaries. I was like, oh, it's okay. So everybody just come in and they just take and take. And there's empty cup. And, you know, I tell my kids the same thing. I can't pour into your cup if mine is empty. So, you know, this early time in the morning for me, that it works, because even before I exercise, it's kind of like my alignment, my self chiropractic moment. I align myself, plug in my charger, battery full, I come out, I was like, okay, then I can do whatever it is. And that trigger to the whole just leadership in the team. You had to be there, you know, like, for example, you have like 4 or 5 members of the team or 3 kids at home. There's going to be one person have a bad day, for sure. I mean, if you have like, I have 3 kids, right? There's going to be one of them have a bad day in our house. And so how do we deal with those human moments? You have to be this glue to show them that it's okay. And same thing with leadership at the office. There's going to be one off person. And how do you call that out, but be a good example for them? But if you're all like, you're not stable already, then you're going to be swayed into this storm. So you got to be out here. But knowing like, this is your storm, you stay here. This is mine. I'm not going to own yours, but let's come back, inviting them to come back, because this is what we, this is our philosophy. This is what we do. Stay here. But you have to be full. And so that's my main thing is that check in. And the why was like, how do I can be this glue? And so it's so important because I know when I missed it, I'm like, off. I knew it right away.
Yeah. So I even loved and that I think, you had shared
yeah.
that even you had taken the boys skiing and you were holding their like boots, like all 3 of their boots. And you were like, oh my gosh, this is why I need to work out. Like, this is why, because I need to be able to carry these boots, which I think is so funny because I think a lot of us work out with just like a, oh yeah, I need to work out because I need to do it. But I thought it was awesome that you had literally a, oh, I need to work out because I need to be able to lift heavy things. So when it comes time yeah. for real life.
yeah. So. Yeah. I'm so grateful because, you know, lifting those bikes and it's just like, so being a strong mom is just so, so important.
Yeah, no, definitely. So I wanted to kind of jump over a little bit. Actually, Dr. Lauren, I'm sorry, I didn't let you share some things that were really for your mental fitness. And actually, if you want to share in a way of saying how you, there's some things that maybe you started with and then how you kind of incorporate that into constantly, I guess, maybe do a check-in with your mental fitness to like grow it and continue to grow it.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, like it's very in sync what these ladies have said and what you've all said it. Cause I do want to say like, the why is important, and this goes into some of mental fitness for me is like always like sitting and trying to be intentional. So like, why am I doing things and kind of setting out a vision? And what you guys have both hit on is like, how do I want to show up like in my workplace, in my personal life, and like having these like guiding principles. But the, you know, I think the mechanism of self-reflection, right? However we get there, I use journaling a lot. I do use some meditation. I do talking with other self-aware friends. Like, I feel like that self-awareness, which we hear that word a lot, but listen, most of us are going day to day in a state of reactivity and not examining what we're doing. And that's where we like run into trouble. So when we are self-aware, yes, we're going to realize when we're frazzled or when we're having a great day. And that helps us identify, right, the patterns to like make us more fit, right? Like the thinking or the behaviors that are going to make us healthier. And that's really important to me. You know, they said at one point in grad school, like your client is only going to be ever as healthy as you are. So you better be like 2 steps ahead, you know, and sometimes we're just 1 step ahead, but it is an evolution of, right? Like, how do I continue to work to find that sense of stability, good health. So this is a reflection because I think that that helps us really identify the things we need, which, as you said, Lola, falls into all the different self-care things that are going to help us get there to regulate our emotions and show up. So I mentioned, and I think you and I talked about, like, not only I journal a lot, but listening about reading books and listening to other wise people. There are a lot of wise people out there. You know, we were talking about Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra and other people. And I constantly, or when I can, podcasting or, you know, reading and I'll just see kind of intuitively what resonates with me. And then you're like, oh, that makes sense. And sometimes it's the simplest things in life. It could be just one phrase and it makes a huge shift. So I think continuing the education process, making time for it as well. You hit something that like I'm always trying to balance. It's very easy to keep giving and giving and giving, you know. But you know, you have to put on that, like, right, that air mask, right, on the plane before you can help everybody else. And I think we have that sense of when we get off balance, like Dr. Julie said. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely does. I love that you mentioned listening to, you know, podcasts, audiobooks, reading, like really hitting all of the senses, because again, there's no one thing, or there's no absolute that you have to do this. But I think the biggest thing is that you have to do something. And there's so many avenues to creating that mental fitness for yourself. You know, so there's working out, there's, you know, getting in touch with your spiritual side, there's journaling. I know, Dr. Elizabeth, you had even mentioned a little bit about brain dumping. Do you want to say what that is? Like, mm-hmm. why you think that's important?
Sure. So I started doing it in college, and I don't know that I know that I was not aware of certain books that I've read subsequent to that. But the idea that you just kind of free flow, write down whatever you're thinking, ideas you have, no matter how big or small they are, it's kind of like journaling, but it's more like you just dump whatever the heck you're thinking about. Things that are, I need to do. And then you're like, oh, I forgot I wanted to create so-and-so, or I wanted to try this recipe. And simply by exercising that subconscious, the things that are more immediately in your control somehow become clearer. They become easier to accomplish and pursue. And you can see the strategy of how you can tick those things off of your list. So in the last couple of years, I've had multiple people share with me, and I just forgot the name of the book. It's called The Artist's Way. And I think it's that in conjunction with another book, the idea is if you can take the time to just write first thing in the morning, you exercise your subconscious, but you also clear the plate for you to just be laser focused on what's meaningful and what comes after that. And you don't have to go back and read it, and you don't have to give it any sort of weight of how important it might be that you need to revisit those thoughts or feelings. That's subjective. That's up to the individual. But it's just a nice exercise to be with your own thoughts and your own feelings and physically write them down. Like, don't dictate them and don't type them out. Like, get like that, you know, that big pen that just feels real good when you put it on paper and just get it out.
Yeah. No, and I love that. And I don't know if that's going to be our generation that's going to say that with the pen and like pen to paper. It'll be interesting to see in the next 10 years, are people still saying that, or are they going with the, oh yeah, as long as you get it out somehow. And I don't know the answer to that. I know I love to write things down. I have so many different pens, different, pen sizes, different colors, just because I really like doing that as well. The other cool thing about that is that you can really give stuff the chance for things to kind of evolve. Like something that you had written maybe years ago would not be the same thing that you're writing right now. And the other thing is that you also have that we actually think so many of the same things every single day. So if you give it a place to live, you give all those thoughts like a place to be, you don't have to necessarily carry it around in your head and keep thinking about it over and over. So I know that we're coming kind of close to time. I just wanted to kind of, I guess, maybe wrap up with for each of you to say maybe one thing that for somebody that's maybe getting into the health and wellness space of what they should do to kind of start, what should they do to work with their mental fitness? I'm going to actually say my thing is that I think the biggest one for me and when I started our business, because no one in my family had started a business of their own, no one in my husband's family had started a business of their own. And I know on my side, my grandfather always just used to say that, oh, you must really love school. So like, people didn't even continue with school and stuff on my side of the family. So opening a business was like bananas. Like, we're going to do what? So my biggest thing would be to not listen to those who are going to doubt you and tell you that you can't do it. Because if you have a passion, if you really have a drive to do something, that you can find a way to do it. You might not have the money, you might not have the know-how, but if you have a passion for it, you can get out there and do it. So I'll pass that to Dr. Julie, if you want to share one thing very quickly that you think that you would give advice to someone.
I think definitely know why you want to do it, but then even if you don't know the why, just start to question it. Just put it in the mind. So, you know, is there a reason behind it? And then I think the second thing that was really big for me is feel the fear and do it anyway. That was so courage. And then, so courage to me, and I told the boys the same, the courage is you feel the fear, but you still do it. That's brave. And so you look into the community, when you see other people doing that, and Simon Sinek talk about in his book is courage is an external thing. It's not an internal thing. It's not like you going off somewhere else and pray on a mountain and then you come back with courage. But then the people surround you, they inspire you to have courage. Because I see other business owner women out there, they are doing it. And you guys are having kids, having family, things are, you know, like everywhere, but you still be able to do that. And that give courage to me for me to continue. So find the courage, but also know your why. Like keep searching for that inner why. I think that's going to be like what driving force to the end of what you want to do.
That's awesome. Dr. Lauren, what is your thing that you would tell someone?
Sometimes I'm telling all the glamorous things about entrepreneurship, but you know what? There is a lot of hard work. You know, if you are unless you can do a casual business, for those of us who, you know, really rely on the income, and for me, I'm a primary income earner, so like it's always been let's go, you know. So I'd say assess your level of commitment, you know, and be ready to work. And I think that comes hand in hand with the passion, the why. If that's strong, like you're gonna make it happen regardless of the doubters. But I think one thing also, and I feel like I'm copying everybody, but I think we all like, I love the pushing past the fear. You grow a lot. But also realize, like, so that growth mindset that, like, there's going to be failures along the way. Like, you're going to mess up, you know, or things aren't going to go according to plan. You know, maybe you snap at one of your employees because you're having a bad day. And so I think to, like, really own that process, so to be authentic and human, but, like, fix and address whatever you're doing, or like learn from the failures. I mean, failure can feel humiliating at times, but if you realize it's all part of your path to help you become more enlightened, stronger, your business to be better, like then, you know, you'll make it wherever you want to go. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you. That's awesome. And Dr. E, I'll let you go ahead and tell us something. And then after that, Sandy is going to take over and wrap us all up. So tell us what you got, Dr. E.
I think it's valuable for people to think about what success means to them. What is the big picture? Is it to be world renowned? Is it to be a pillar in your community? Is it to be able to serve a specific population and still be able to show up for your family or your friends? What is the balance of all these aspects of who we are as individuals that need to be met for us to be like, yeah, I'm doing it and I'm successful. And that will change and fluctuate as you're navigating a struggle, navigating fear, looking for mentors, looking for guidance, looking for support. So it changes over time. But if you keep coming back to, I feel successful because I show up as this part of myself and as this part of myself, you really are reaffirming for yourself all the positive things that you're doing, which I think keeps you focused on the big picture, the big goals.
Yeah, this has been fabulous. By the way, I started my own business less than a year ago. So I am really in the deep part of not knowing what I'm doing, trying to figure it out along the way. And I've really gained some really insightful nuggets from this conversation. And a lot of it is the mental journey, right? Each of our journeys is truly unique. But as I hear you all talk, I've heard it, you know, some key themes woven in. And I think one is so important that Dr. Julie mentioned is knowing your why. I do think that's what keeps us going. We always say at Pivotal Moments that, you know, it's a mission moment. We should be talking about why we are doing what we're doing. And I think that's so key. And another one is really being able to, as Dr. E said, know your boundaries. That's a tough one too. And I know that's one I personally struggle with. I even bought a book recently about boundaries and making sure, you know, learning how to establish those in a way that you're not offending other people and that you're doing it in a respectful manner. And so I think that's key as well. You've got to find that time for yourself. And you guys all great gave some great insights on what it is that you do in that time to help keep you mentally fit. But I think it's one thing that I really gathered from that was that you've got to know what works for you. We'll all try a lot of different things, but finding what works for you is the key. I always say I'm not a good meditator. I don't know what a good meditator is really, but I know that I have ways. And Dr. E, you mentioned writing things down. I do a lot of writing and journaling now. I never did that before, but it has been so helpful for me. So I know it'll be helpful for our audience. So I want to thank you all, first of all, for being here today, taking the time to share with us. It's so important that we share our story. So always look for ways to share that story because there's always someone out there who needs and wants to hear what you've been through, and it will help them along the way too. So thank you all. Dr. Lola, thank you for being my guest host. This has been so much fun. I really appreciate y'all being part of this. You've been listening to the Her Journey Told podcast, brought to you by Pivotal Moments. For more inspirational content and to donate, go to pivotalmoments.org. I'm Sandy Lutton. Thank you all for being here and joining us, and keep an eye out for upcoming episodes coming soon. Thanks. You've been listening to the Her Journey Told podcast, powered by Pivotal Moments. For more inspirational content, go to pivotalmoments.org. I'm Sandy Lutton. Thanks so much for joining us. Make sure to keep an eye out for more episodes where podcasts can be heard. See you next time.